Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
And, okay, we can do this. Let's do this. I think we're going to have to do this like 15 times while we try to figure out. Because you're gonna want to say the date so bad.
I know. No, I got it. I got it written down. That's why I got paper.
Oh, perfect. You've scripted it.
Yep. Right. Why would I not?
You probably rehearsed it.
My job is control.
All right. Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. And you're listening to episode 17 for Monday, May 8th, 2017.
So today we're going to talk about, as always, our beer recommendations for the week. We're also going to talk about Robert's latest almost impulse buy.
Manly edible arrangements, a dose of technology, and of course, a crazy news story.
Did you say Monday?
Monday? Oh, right. What day is today?
Today
it's not Sunday.
I'm in like a time warp now. It's not Sunday.
Yeah, it's not Monday.
It's Thursday. We've never recorded on a Thursday before.
This is new. It's like it still feels the same.
It's like living. I'm in like a time warp here. Like,
you know, we're usually recording right at the beginning of the week, or you know, before we start the beginning of the week, and we're trying something a little bit different this week and recording on Thursday.
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, when we discuss kind of moving things around schedule wise, it's because you're the one at the end of the day that actually has to edit this shit. Like, I, you know, come here and record once a week, and I post a few things here and there and come up with ideas. But, you know, if we're being honest, you're the one that really puts a lot of the elbow grease into the episodes. So, you know, it gives you more time to, you know, kind of take your time doing it versus having to rush, and still lets us get our episodes out, you know, early in the week like we like to do. So
yeah, I think another thing too that'll be nice will be consistency in when we get the episode out. We've discussed that between ourselves, and we've gotten a little bit of feedback from our listeners as well that, you know, they're looking for an episode on a particular day. And I know from the beginning that was very important to us, but life kind of gets in the way sometimes, and we have to move things around a little bit. So this way we'll get it recorded, we'll put it out. Hopefully everything will be like clockwork. We do have a few changes coming up that we'll be able to discuss soon. Hopefully, if everything works out.
Big stuff in the works.
Big stuff in the works. The Bobs are moving up and moving around, and we're excited. We had hoped to be able to put that in today's episode, but as things always happened, Murphy showed up at the door and said, we got to wait a little bit. So stay tuned for that. And like I said, more to come.
Yep. TTB 2.0 is waiting until next week.
I see you're wearing a shirt. That
I am.
You know, part of me was thinking you were going to wear Star Wars because today is, you know, I said Monday, May 8th, but, you know, we let the cat out of the bag. This is Thursday, so may the 4th be with you.
And may the 4th be with you as well. You know, I did think about May the 4th and wearing my Star Wars shirt, but, you know, I still have my Tauntaun over here, my bobblehead, so I still have the general Star Wars presence here in my podcast studio, but, you know, more importantly, you were giving me shit about not wearing my Two Bobs t-shirts, you know, yes, a couple weeks ago. So I decided, go ahead and put it on today to prove to you that I do actually wear it.
You'll have to get a picture and make sure everybody else can see it. A nice selfie right now, you know, to get you up close to my level of 4 selfies. Although you took a bunch at the baseball game, so that doesn't count. But no. I like yours. Yours is a nice dark blue with the red logo, whereas mine's all red with the white logo. And it's fun wearing it around and seeing people notice it. So I've done it a few times and I always enjoy the looks.
I haven't had to sign any autographs yet, though. I'm just waiting for that to happen.
Well, you know, once people start seeing your stickers and your, you know, your magnets everywhere and your face, people will recognize you. And last week I had a chance to wear the shirt on camera when I had a Skype meeting at work that we never usually use the cameras. And this time they, you know, I guess to get more people to participate that weren't there in the office, they said, oh, you know, turn on your cameras. And I was wearing a totally different shirt. So once I realized that the cameras were on, I was bummed that not everybody was staring at my Two Bob shirt.
That is too bad. It was really a missed opportunity for free advertising, you know?
I'm thinking every day, maybe. Every day I'm home, I'll have it on just in case.
That's why you have to run these things by me ahead of time. I mean, you might do a lot of the editing and a lot of the social media stuff, but at the end of the day, the marketing guy, I think I have something to add from that perspective, and I If it were me, I'd have the twobobs.com tattooed on your forehead, forward and backward, just in case somebody saw you in a mirror in the bathroom or something like that.
I think it would be cool if they had rotating, you know, tattoos that would go around. I'm sure that'll be there someday where it's actually embedded in your forehead.
Maybe a tramp stamp.
Well, no. I won't show you mine.
We should have temporary tattoos. No, but I do have my magnets and my stickers here. I put one on the fridge. Kelly posted on our Facebook page last week that there was a place for the two Bobs and our mug shots on our fridge in our kitchen now.
Yeah, I don't have one on my refrigerator, but I think I will go ahead and put one. I'm a bit of a hoarder, and since we didn't really order that many, I've been very, I guess, stingy with handing them out. I sent you yours, sure. And then I've got mine, so I do have to put a couple of them up. Rob and I talked about earlier that it might be fun if anybody out there is interested to let us know if you might be interested in one of the t-shirts or the magnets and stickers. So we'll put those pictures on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and then just shoot us a note. It's easy enough to get these things if you're interested. So we'd like to gauge what that interest is, and we would certainly appreciate people sharing the show that way.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's not something we're really trying to make money on or anything like that, you know, but it's, you know, again, it's just advertising for the show and the podcast, we'd appreciate it if you do that for us. Yep. If you're interested, let us know.
Like we said, Facebook, Twitter, send us an email, hello@thetwobobs.com, and...
I noticed that you had a phone number.
You can always leave it as part of your voicemail. Mm-hmm. What's that phone number?
It is 530-882-BOBS. Again, that's 530-882-2627.
I'm almost doing that in my sleep now.
I always hear in my sleep, oh, yeah, I heard you had a phone number. I noticed you had a phone number, but I got to match the letters to the numbers. And speaking of elderly listener.
Yeah, is she?
They're on their way. I think they just got to Florida today.
Wow.
Because that's where the old people go. That's like their homeland down there. So... No, we have some family down there, so they're going down there for a couple weeks to visit.
And, oh, cool.
You know.
Well, she can still get the show in Florida. I mean,
I would think so.
But, I don't know. No excuse.
No excuse whatsoever. We do have to find out why I didn't get my driver's license in time, and obviously she hasn't had the opportunity to call in.
No, she didn't. So hopefully she'll do that and let us know what the answer is, because I'm dying to know.
She has no problem, airing my business, my dirty laundry out. So I don't think there will be an issue there.
No, something tells me she's not shy.
No, shy's not anywhere part of her name. I got it from somewhere, Robert, you know.
It's funny to see where the similarities there are between your behavior and hers as far as, you know, I mean, the little interaction I've had with her between the phone calls and the Facebook posts. So
yeah,
the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, that's for sure.
No, she likes to push buttons almost as much as I do. Like, I got it from somewhere. I really gained a lot of my skills from her.
Well, that's why we get along so well, because I am a master button pusher, and I know my mother-in-law always says, you know, how do you find that? You know, the president's got a secret button somewhere, so it's way back deep, and you got to reach far enough back under the table, but I can find it without even looking, every time.
Have we talked about the button that Donald Trump put in the Oval Office on the show?
No.
So I read somewhere that there was a group of reporters in the Oval Office. And this was a couple weeks ago I read this. But so the bunch of reporters in the Oval Office, Donald Trump reaches over, presses a button on his desk, and literally a few, like less than a minute later, like a butler just comes in with a Coke and puts it on the desk and leaves.
Wrong.
So what we've gathered is that Donald Trump has had a button installed on his desk in the Oval Office.
Yes.
That he just pushes whenever he wants a Coke.
Yeah, I knew he had quite a Coke addiction. Well,
you are fake news.
Zing!
A Diet Coke addiction, where he's, you know, just constantly drinking that. That's so I figured at 70 years old, his pancreas has got to be working overtime these days.
So let me ask you though, Robert, if you had a button on your desk at work that you could just push and somebody would bring you something to eat or drink, what would it be?
Nachos.
Nachos. That. Oh my God, a nacho button would be awesome.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be, you know, elaborate. You know, if I go somewhere, I like just the cheese on it. The chili and the other stuff is nice, but just cheese, jalapenos on the side would be good because I tend to throw a couple of those. The Ring of Fire is always painful, but it tastes so good going down.
I would be okay with cheese and maybe bacon, like crumble some bacon on it.
No,
bring
that's
that,
good.
Push.
That's
the
good.
Bacon nachos button. That'd be awesome.
The bacon nachos. Yeah, I could see that. I don't think I've ever had any bacon on my nachos.
Mine would probably just be coffee.
Did I go overboard with nachos? What, am I reaching too far?
No. And listen, I liked where you were going with that. This button could, you know, really bring you anything you wanted.
Okay.
You chose nachos.
I think we'll cover a little bit of that later. And also, looking at the show notes, we might be covering a remedy for the Ring of Fire as well.
Thank God.
I know you can't wait.
Don't eat spicy shit all the time, and your shit won't be spicy. I just made that up.
Failing pile of garbage.
Hey, while we're talking about food, we got to wash those nachos down with something. So let's talk about what we're drinking.
Clever segue there.
Hey, bartender, another beer.
Oh, that's
beers.
What'd you say?
I said beers. Beers. The beers.
Who's going to go first this week?
I'll go first. I think I usually do go first.
You usually do. You bully.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to go first.
No, you go ahead. I like you know, me, I got to have order. I like the routine.
God forbid I step on your fucking toes. No, so I almost had I was really panicking on my way home from work today because the power went out at work. I sat around in the dark for like an hour and a half, and I'm like, okay, time to leave. I'm on my way home. A lot of the lights near my office are out, so like, and then some of the places where I would normally be able to stop for beer had no power as well. And then the places where I could go that I think would have power, there was like a mile and a half backup of traffic because of traffic lights being out. So I decided to drive home where I know there's not a ton of liquor stores for me to stop and get some beer because I had nothing. So just kind of took a little bit of a chance, stopped at a place I don't normally go to. And in fact, I've never been there. D-Bags? No, D-Brothers.
New name for the show, right?
D-Brothers, like D, it's like the English D for Detroit. So Detroit Brothers, beer and liquor and shit. I don't know what it's called. But anyway, so I went in there. They didn't have a ton, but I did find one. And it's kind of going along with the theme of my beers over the last several weeks, which are just kind of interesting, kind of sweeter side flavors. So I got this. It is a blueberry maple stout by Saugatuck Brewing Company out of Saugatuck, Michigan. Apparently the west side of... I never realized the west side of the state of Michigan has so many beers. Like, I mean, Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Saugatuck, apparently... They make a whole lot of beer there.
Yeah, one of my favorite beers is from Michigan. It's Bell's Two Hearted, and I think we've talked about that before. But that's, you know, and a lot of times when I pick beer, it ends up being from Michigan. It just happens to be that way. So I always look to see where it comes from, and Michigan tends to be on that list.
Yeah, I think Bell's is out of Kalamazoo, if I remember correctly. So this is a little bit closer to the water than Kalamazoo. But, you know, I took a chance on it. It's actually very good. It reminds me of the Rochester Mills blueberry pancake milkshake stout that I had a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it's 6% by volume, IBU rating is 26, so it's a little bit hoppier than what I normally drink. You know, that we normally find in a stout actually, but still pretty tame from the hop perspective. Pairings, it says naturally pancakes go well. So although I don't know if I'd ever actually drink beer while I'm eating pancakes, but you know, you can definitely taste the blueberry and the maple. It's not quite as prevalent as it was in the Rochester Mills stout, but I think it's a good balance of tasting like beer and also having some of those other flavors. So the website says that the blueberry maple stout is a sweet milk stout with all the malt characteristics you love, but with a bold, unique twist. This beer tastes like a glass full of blueberry pancakes smothered in maple syrup. And it does. It does have it does taste like blueberry and maple syrup a little bit. I can definitely taste those in there. Pretty good beer. Definitely recommended. This is the first time I've had anything from Saugatuck Brewing Company. So I might be inclined to try some of their other flavors out. But yeah, like it. And what are you drinking?
Well, that sounds good. I was just getting ready to look up and see what else they had, but they always want to know how old I am. But tonight I am drinking a Left-Handed Brewing Company Milk Stout Nitro. And this is one when you had that blueberry milk stout last week, I was thinking that, you know, this was almost one that I grabbed. So that would have been kind of fun to have a similar type of beer. This one's good. It's dark. I don't know. I think it's the first time that I've had a milk stout. So I've been curious to try it, and I finally ended up buying it, but I like it a good bit. The little header says super smooth with soft roastiness and mocha flavors. Mentions vanilla, chocolate, and a lot of that's in there. And it does, I'm not sure if the nitro was supposed to be coffee. The description mentions that a little bit, that there's a hint of roasted coffee, but it definitely has that taste to it. It's got a lot going on in there, but at the same time, it's lighter, almost like a Guinness, where it doesn't have a really heavy, deep flavor to it.
Well, nitro beer is And have you had nitro beers before?
I've had a lot. I'd have to search on tap to see what I've had that maybe had the word nitro in it, but I don't think so. I think this is probably the first one that I've had.
Okay, so the big thing is, and there's a place locally here that serves nitrogen beer, and it's just kind of how they make the beer. So instead of using the classic CO2 when they make it, they use, what's called nitro, and it's supposed to be smoother and creamier than just, your typical beer. So I've always liked it. And in fact, a lot of the beers that, you normally drink have an equivalent that's a nitro equivalent that you can get some of the bars. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is good. So I'll read the description, but it says super smooth with soft roastiness and mocha flavors. Dark and delicious, America's Great Milk Stout will change your perception about what a stout can be. Pouring hard out of the bottle, Milk Stout Nitro cascades beautifully, building a tight, thick head like hard whipped cream. The aroma is of a brown sugar and vanilla cream with hints of roasted coffee. The pillowy head coats your upper lip and its creaminess entices your palate. Initial roasty mocha flavors rise up with slight hop and roast bitterness in the finish. The rest is pure bliss of milk chocolate fullness. So I guess I was supposed to pour it real, and even the bottle says pour it hard. So
you almost want to put the glass upside down on top of it and tip it over and allow it, and then just slowly raise the bottle up as you're pouring it up.
Yeah, I guess maybe to release it. But that's actually the picture on the website. It shows that with the bottle is upside down. So a lot like yours, the IBUs is 25. So not as hoppy as I usually have it, but it does have a little bit more punch to it, and it's 6% alcohol by volume as well. Pairings, it says chocolate pudding, pumpkin chocolate cheesecake, ancho chili rubbed pork tenderloin, maple stout glazed butternut squash. So it's got a lot of different things, and a nitro Oreo cupcakes, which if I can figure out a way to get that, looks like they actually have a recipe on their website. So I can see some time in the kitchen coming up.
Oh man, actually this looks delicious too.
Yeah, I like it. I'm 2/3 of the way done with it already. So usually I haven't started it by now, but I'm working on it.
Nice, nice. I'm about halfway done with mine, but I got to say, I'm a little bit jealous because your beer looks phenomenal. It's right up my alley.
One thing I didn't say is where it's from.
It's from...
Oops, what did I just do? Let's see, contact. Location. Oh, well, the good thing is with this brewery is in Colorado, so there's a good chance you probably can get some in Michigan. So it's basically a completely black, I'll hold it up here. It's completely black, just says Nitro on it in big letters and milk stout. But I've seen this a bunch of times. I've just never bought it, but they had it in the build your own. So I figured why not try it? I'll go get some more.
I like how we just pause the show too, just to sit there and stare at the beers on Untappd.
Well, I think sometimes that's the nice thing. I've talked about it a lot in the past because I've used it for so long, but Untappd is really a great way to find things. And I was looking around for some other things to pick up today, and I went on Untappd to see what I should pick. It really helps do that. If you want to follow me, I'm at RobertK328, and you're at?
I'm at PhilRoberts33.
Again, that's Untappd, UNTAPPD. Look it up in your phone's app store.
I think it's about time for us to get to some random shit that we like to talk about on the show.
Always random.
So it's funny you mentioned Ring of Fire earlier when you were talking about, pressing a button and getting nachos to your desk at work with jalapenos on the side.
Yeah.
I remember a conversation we had a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Where you were telling me that you had a surprise for me, kind of an impulse buy from Amazon, as we often do. And you were giving me clues. The first clue was that I'll shit myself when when I find out what it is.
Yeah, that might have been the second clue, but I can't remember.
And then you said that you did say that it started with B.
I did? I usually don't like to give away a lot of clues. I like to make people work for it.
I was being pretty insistent that you tell me what it was.
You were angry that I was not. You don't like to be dragged around by your head like that.
No. I like to, you know, always be in the know. And I don't like surprises. Like with our kids, we found out the second we could if they were boys. And, you know, I just like to know what's coming and know what people are thinking and know what's happening. So
me too. Anyway, that's why I did the trick, because I like to turn the tables and see how other people are. So I was very surprised that you figured it out as quick as you did.
Well, I think I'm probably more cultured than you think I am.
Well, I'm one that is easily swayed by infomercials. This, I think, I happened to see. Probably I saw an ad on Facebook, and all of a sudden it was something that I never knew that I needed, but I needed it right away. So Amazon Prime to the rescue.
So why don't you tell them what you ordered, Robert, on Amazon?
Well, like I said, you're going to shit yourself. The Ring of Fire might have given it away, but I placed an order for, and it attaches to your toilet seat, but I placed an order for a bidet.
And just in case you're listening and maybe you aren't familiar with European culture and what a bidet is, basically what it is, it's here in the US we like to wipe our asses with toilet paper to get all the stuff off. But over in certain areas of Europe, specifically in like France and other areas, they like to squirt water at their ass and other private parts. In the belief that it results in greater cleanliness and better hygiene than simply wiping your stuff off with the toilet paper. So,
well, you know, what really pushed me, you know, towards making this purchase was they said, hey, if you go out, I mean, let's say you're outside and you're doing something and you accidentally touch, you know, you've got you step in dog poo or whatever, you know, or you've got dirt on, you got mud on your driveway. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
You know, what are you going to do to clean it? Are you going to go and just take paper towels and, you know, drag it around, or are you going to take your hose out and spray it? When I was a kid, or actually before I was born, he passed away the year I was born, but my grandfather was a breeder of dachshunds, and when he passed away, the kennels that he had for his dachshunds were converted into kennels where people could bring their dogs in for, you know, vacations and things like that. So I grew up doing that from, I mean, as young as I can remember, but working there in the summers, and, you know, you're out there cleaning, and every summer, particularly because of the heat, but we'd have to go out and wash the runs, and we, you know, you always wash it with water. So this, you know, being a very similar thing, you know, I was pulled in. I was pulled in by the propaganda. After I told Melissa about it, I realized that, hey, maybe I'd save the money and just, you know, stay with the toilet paper. But I was really close to having it. But, you know, I still, every now and then, I still think, you know, maybe I should just go ahead with the purchase and see what it's really like. But I'm not quite sure I can pull the trigger.
I like how you're justifying it, though. When your driveway is dirty, do you wipe it with paper, or do you? Yeah, but when your kitchen,
you just let it rain.
When your dining room table is dirty, do you spray it down with a hose? Like you wipe it?
Yeah, you wipe it, but you know the. I'll read you, and this isn't the one.
I do agree with the fact that we waste a lot of paper. I mean, we use a lot of toilet paper, and there's a lot of waste that's produced from that. But
well,
that's
1, 4, and 5 on the top 5 reasons you should have one. One of which is conserving waste and saving the earth. You know, compared to 36.5 billion rolls of toilet paper a year that people use, which is 15 million trees. That's a lot. I mean,
is the number one reason it because it feels good?
Well, I've got audio of it that I'll play you in a second. Increased cleanliness. Therapeutic effect on the skin, septic system friendly, and cost effective and easy to use. For under $100, you put this little thing, it hooks right into your water. You turn the lever, and you can even get heat if you want, but I don't want to do the heat.
Can I get it to spray Febreze at my butt when I'm done too?
Oh, well, it can. No, I don't know. You gotta put the they have a little drop you put down in the water that creates a protective barrier, and I can't remember what it's called, but I heard about it on another show, so maybe I'll get some of that someday. But I do have a little clip of people using a bidet for the first time, so here it is.
I hear more and more about people using bidets. In theory, I can see how water would leave you cleaner. A bidet boss.
Is it weird that I've been looking forward to this moment all week?
See?
I think it's really cool. It will just hook onto my toilet at home.
I'm almost there.
So bidets are supposed to clean you way better than toilet paper because they use water. Let's
just need another minute.
Bidets don't seem like the most macho thing in the world, but I'm going to give it a try.
And knock that dingleberry right off.
It's easy to use.
Activating in 3, 2.
Oh my God.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, Nelly.
Okay.
I like the music.
Taking a mini shower.
No, it's...
that was definitely better than I thought. And I feel cleaner.
I feel a million times cleaner than with toilet paper.
See? I really like that music. Maybe I'll contact them about using that for our show.
Would you whistle too when you're using it?
You see how nice that is? You don't have videos like that of people using toilet paper, you know, scratching around and,
yeah,
you know, various
other
things.
No, that's true, Robert. I'm sold. Get me two. I have multiple toilets in my house. I'm going to need one for every one of them.
In your next sticker order, I'll throw a bidet in there.
Perfect. Perfect. I just use the sprayer from the sink.
Well, they have those. And when I was going through Amazon, they have them where they attach, and it is almost like a, you know, almost like the sprayer from the sink. It's a lot more cumbersome. It looked like, so of course I skipped that.
And
I went for a little higher end model. But again, those impulse purchases will get you every time. And Amazon happened to be convenient. Nobody locally had it, which was probably a good thing. Because that would have been a fun return, I think.
You know what else is growing in popularity in the U.S.? And in fact, I read an article, this was, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, where the water and sewer system in New York was having issues because of so many people using baby wipes to wipe themselves up after they were done going. And I would think that, I mean, it's wasteful and it's not cheap. I mean, I've paid for baby wipes for, it's like, seems like forever now. But I would say that that's probably the best of both worlds, because you also get like the cleaning element, not just the wet element of it.
Yeah, that's really one of the bigger things. And I have seen that news story where they're talking about and seen the photo of it, and they had a kind of a wild name for it that almost like a prehistoric name for these big giant, like down deep under New York and other large cities, where they have these basically big islands of these wipes that don't degrade like they're supposed to. So they say flushable, and yeah, it'll go down, but basically once it gets down there, that's it.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Edible arrangements.
Yeah.
So somebody, a friend of yours, posted on...
one of our lorries.
Yeah, one of the lorries posted on our Facebook page a picture of a man's edible arrangement. And it had things like, I think I saw pizza on there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not blaming him for putting pizza on there. But it had a bunch of, like, crazy stuff, like a lot of meats and a lot of protein on this that, you know, are typically, like, manly type of foods built into an edible arrangement. So it had like the stick going through it and stuff like that, like in a basket type of arrangement. So
yeah, it looks like it's in a red solo cup. It's a looks like probably a small or medium sized pepperoni pizza, a little paper bag, you know, the small bag of French fries, Bloody Mary, some pickles, chicken wings, big hoagie, onion rings, so a whole lot of different things. I guess the things that a typical guy might eat in just, you know, a regular meal.
So it led us to the conversation about what we would put on our edible arrangement. So we both came up with a list of things we'd have on our edible arrangement. And
yes, we did.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Well, we haven't compared these either, so I'm curious to see how much is the same and what's different and, you know, why there are differences. But yeah, some of the comments were pretty funny. So we decided it would be a good thing to go ahead and dive in. So let me start with mine. So I'm a big hamburger fan, and it probably came across a little bit last week, although I'd never eat a big, you know, quadruple bypass burger. But my first edible arrangement ingredient is sliders.
Oh, that's a good one.
Everything is made better with a burger. We were at my daughter's soccer game last week, and somebody was there, you know, getting some food from the concession stand, and they got one of those burgers that, you know, that comes wrapped up in the foil, and it's not hot, you know, it's kind of lukewarm, but, you know, it's still good. You just gotta, you take the bread off, and the bread's stuck to the patty, and squeeze your ketchup and mustard packets on it and eat that. So that looked really good. So number one, sliders.
Sounds delicious. I like sliders too, because I can eat, you know, a bunch, and that, you know, my excuse is just, well, they're super small. They're, you know, you're supposed to eat multiple sliders.
It's not designed to eat one of them. Number two, jalapeno poppers.
Ooh. So I will say this. It didn't make my list, but I definitely thought about them.
See, you shouldn't have contacted me, because, you know, then we would have cheated. But all right. Number three. Spicy Italian sausage.
Ooh, I like it. I like where your head's at with us. Now, would you have anything on the sausage?
No, just I'm a Polish boy. We just eat sausage. We don't need anything on it. And Melissa and I always joke like a steak.
Steak,
you know? We'll go get a steak, and you know, people ask for A1, but if the steak is good enough, you don't need any sauce on it. So sausage is the same way.
I may also bring up steak and A1 sauce on when I take my
Okay. All right. Number four, soft taco supreme.
From Taco Bell?
Of course.
Look, I
of course.
Well, who else has a
Where else am I gonna get a taco supreme? Exactly.
You go to Mexico and ask for a taco supreme, I think they'll throw you in prison.
They'll kick your ass.
Fucking gringo.
Number five, I actually had something else very similar. I actually had onion rings, but I wanted, I really wanted the sauce. And this is going to be hard to do, but based on the fact that they did French fries, I think I can pull it off. But one of the onion blossoms, like from Outback Steakhouse. I don't know
Texas
if you have those.
Any of those,
the apple blossoms, just because I like that sauce that you dip those in.
And oh, the orange sauce is good.
Yeah, the orange sauce. Yeah, they have that at a barbecue place near here that has it too. So that's a small chain, so they don't have it up there. But yeah, I want some way to get that sauce, and the onion blossom was the way to accomplish that.
I like it.
All right, number six, and I kind of got that off the picture, but I went with boneless buffalo wings because who's got time to fool with the bone?
Now, would this be plain, dry? What kind of seasoning would we be? Am I putting on this?
No, it would definitely be a spicy, you know, it would be a hot one. It wouldn't be mild, and it wouldn't be the, you know, sweet and sour, or what's the other, the honey barbecue. And that's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time. It's delicious.
The honey barbecue? Honey barbecue?
Comes with it. How is it a waste of time? It doesn't take longer to eat it. I mean, but you know what? This is your edible arrangement.
Yeah, so it's just mine. Get your hands off.
You can have it however you want.
All right. Number seven. And this one, I think this one's going to be a little bit controversial, and that's part of the reason why I saved it for last. But also, if I was only limited to six, I could knock this one off. But
you don't put fucking pineapple on pizza.
I would have pizza with pineapple on it. A little bit of sweet on there, but that would be no pepperoni because I got a lot going on than the rest of it. So something sweet to balance it out.
Sick son of a...
You don't put fucking pineapple on pizza.
Well, you don't put fucking pineapple on pizza.
It's in there. And I think based on, I had one little accessory to go with it. And I think based on the picture, which I think looks like it's in a red Solo cup, my red Solo cup would be filled with blue cheese dressing because I do like to dip my pizza in blue cheese. Although with the pineapple, it's probably not that good, but I could make it work with the buffalo wings.
I've never tried blue cheese on pizza, although I do get feta on pizza sometimes, though. So nah.
Well, no, I'm not talking crumbles. I'm talking like the actual dressing. I'll put that on the plate. And then, you know, just kind of drag it or dip it.
Oh.
Tasty.
Interesting.
Like my son calls it white dip.
To me, that would be the same thing as A1 on good steak, though. Like, I mean.
Probably.
It takes away from the experience for me. But
I mean, isn't that perfect? Sliders, jalapeno poppers, spicy Italian sausage, soft taco supreme, onion blossom with the spicy orange sauce, buffalo wings, and pizza.
That's great. And one of those, so I will say this, one of those ingredients you put on yours is also on mine.
Okay.
And if you don't know which one that is, then we can't be friends anymore.
Well, pizza, I know.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. So pizza would be my first ingredient. But, you know, going back to just your edible arrangement, I feel like I would take your edible, like if somebody gave me your edible arrangement,
yeah,
I mean, that's still like food porn for me. Like that still sounds delicious.
This could be something that I would sell. Maybe we'll have that on our website one day.
The two Bob's food porn baskets arrangements.
That's right. And I definitely recommend the bidet.
It comes with a bidet. For an extra $100, you can get a bidet with your basket.
That's right. What's on yours?
All right. So number one, we already guessed it's pizza.
Oh, starting off.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's always going to start. It always starts with pizza with me. So pizza's number one.
Yeah.
Pepperoni, please. No pineapple.
You don't put fucking pineapple on pizza.
Exactly. I agree. If you put pineapple on mine, I'm going to send it back. Like I'm sending a package back to Amazon. missing parts or accessories. Well, now that we mentioned that, though, I got to tell our listeners what that means. So. Quick departure. I promise I'll come back. But Robert and I have joked for a long time. You know, we both love ordering stuff on Amazon. We're a little bit of Amazon Prime aficionados, I would say. But sometimes you just buy stuff and sometimes you're buying it just kind of to fill in time till you get it cheaper somewhere else, or, you know, something like that, or you get two of something. So I do find myself returning things sometimes. And the joke is, a little tidbit for you, if you try to return something and you tell them that it's your fault that you're returning it, so like either you didn't mean to order it or
wrong
you
size.
Ordered two of them or something like that, they're going to say, well, that's your fault that you did that, and right. they're going to try to charge you to return it for shipping, right? So you either got to pay for the shipping yourself or you got to pay them to give you a UPS label. If you tell them that it's their fault that you're returning it, then they'll cover the return shipping. So I always put missing parts or accessories, and some of the things that I've returned due to missing parts or accessories, like a video game that's still in the shrink wrap, has never been opened. Like, what could be missing other than the game from a PS4 game that you're returning that's still factory sealed, where you would have no idea what could possibly be missing from the package because you haven't opened it. But nonetheless, I do that quite often, and they have never once said anything, and they've always taken my package back with the shipping.
They've got so much stuff going in and out of there that there's no way they could find it. And they're probably actually happy when something comes back like that that's still wrapped, because they could just put it back in the bin and be ready for the next person to take it.
Yeah, and they have to return it back to the manufacturer or anything like that. Like, they just sell it to some other schmo, you know?
Yep.
But so, all right, back to the edible arrangement. So number one, pizza, obviously. Yep. Number two, tacos.
Now, okay, so that's two.
My requirement, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. So you had tacos as well.
Yeah.
My requirement, though, is that they be real kind of Mexican restaurant type of tacos.
So crunchy, for one.
Yeah. So like the kind like in the big like puffy shells that are like dripping with
grease is going through.
With grease is you eat it and like it smells the whole house up because it's just so the Mexicanism is so potent in it. That's the kind of tacos I want. Beef,
okay.
Please. Beef, please.
Yeah, always.
With guacamole on the side.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna need like a little condiment basket to go with mine. So
it sounds
as I'm talking about these things, I want you to think about the things that need to go on the side in my little condiment basket, and I'd like those to be in individual little containers with lids. Thank you.
So nothing can touch.
No. Number three, another one that's similar to yours, but not the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. B-dubs. Buffalo wings.
Okay, buffalo wings. All right, but you're wanting bones in yours, it sounds like.
I want bones in mine. Something about, you know, I get it. It's more efficient to eat it without the bone, but I don't know. Something to me, having the wing there just in its natural form, I think tastes better. I'll get them boneless quite often, actually, but I do like having the wings, but, you know, I'm always getting my hands dirty and stuff. And then it has to have spicy garlic on it.
Okay.
I need it with spicy garlic on it. I need ranch on the side, though.
Okay. Oh, so the ranch, not the blue cheese.
No. So what I do is I get
the stuff.
Yeah, so I get the spicy garlic in there, okay. And I dip it in the ranch and then eat it with the spicy garlic and the ranch together. It's a beautiful marriage of flavors when you go to B-Dubs. Try it out.
Flavor explosion, it sounds like.
It really is. Actually, one of my favorite things at B-Dubs is the mac and cheese, the buffalo chicken mac and cheese. You get the spicy garlic on that and just mix it all up in there in the mac and cheese.
Hmm.
Delicious. What are you writing?
Nothing. Fine.
I always feel like, I know you're probably just like taking a note or something like that. I always feel like you're just like writing like, take this shit out. Rob's just babbling on about random shit. This is stupid.
Find new ghost. Find another Bob.
You. Good luck.
Nah, we're all good.
Luck.
Ah, right. This is a show title here.
It just, all right. Number four.
Yes, sir.
Steak. A nice filet, medium rare. I don't want to see A1 sauce anywhere in the vicinity of it, though.
No, it's good. I mean, it's perfect by itself.
Yeah. Maybe just a little bit of pepper, just to give it a little something. You know, just a little something. But
minced garlic, maybe on it.
Yeah. Just go ahead. Make me a nice filet.
Okay.
Stick a rod through it, shove it in the oversized red solo cup, and, you know, that's all I need. I need. The flavor, it's, you know, let it cool for about 10 minutes before putting it in there, and then make sure I get it right away. So, next one, number five, Johnsonville cheddar brats.
You're going like regional selections here. I mean, something that everybody can understand. What is the Johnsonville cheddar brat?
Wait. You don't have Johnsonville brats?
I don't know. Virginia? I'll go look.
You have to.
Maybe I do.
It's like they're like the brat. They're the brand that makes brats. Like, I mean, you can go to the store and get some really nice ones out of the deli. We have some nice, you know, Italian delis in the area that are delicious. But
you mind if I write that down?
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'm used to you just writing shit down as I'm talking. Don't worry about it. I know you're listening.
Okay.
Johnsonville cheddar brats, Robert. Okay. Grilled.
All right. I'll let you know if I've seen those before. I might have seen the package. I just don't know the name.
I need them grilled on a natural charcoal grill.
Right. Yes. Yeah, we traded our, the gas grill finally died, and I convinced Melissa to go back to the charcoal. So it's a bit more of a pain to get it up and going and keep the heat and all that, but it's just so much nicer to be out there with a real grill.
And just, I think you can taste it in the food, too, when it's natural charcoal. I mean, this is coming from a guy. We have a gas grill just because, like you said, it's so much easier. But, hey, you just switched to charcoal, like, this year. So it's not like, oh, my God.
I'm throwing the book at you today.
I'm getting a soundboard. You're going to pay. All right. Number six, Andy Capp's Hot Fries.
Oh, that's a good one.
They have those in Virginia?
Yeah, I think I've seen those in the encyclopedia.
So you know what's so? I love them. I don't get them that often because usually I being a good husband, I usually try to get something Kelly likes, and she's not into them. But what's funny is I'm at work today, making this list while the power's out, and then I leave my office and go visit some people, and what do they have? She's got a bag of Andy Capp's hot fries on her desk. I'm like, oh my God!
Perfect. Is what it's meant to be.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. And last but not least,
right?
Cheesecake.
You threw a dessert in there. See, I had the pineapple.
You gotta have a dessert.
You don't put fucking pineapple on pizza.
Put fucking pineapple on pizza.
You don't put fucking pineapple on pizza.
All right. So you don't care what kind of cheesecake? I mean, just regular New York.
Well, so I like different kinds. Like I like some sort of sauce on it usually, or like they have the Oreo cheesecake. Mm-hmm. Actually, any cheesecake with the, I just changed my mind. I just remembered something. Never mind. I want specifically a certain kind of cheesecake.
Okay.
Cheesecake Factory has a white chocolate and raspberry cheesecake with an Oreo crumb crust. That's what I need.
I know where we're going this weekend. Although this won't come out until Monday, so Melissa won't even know. So
you know what sucks though? We don't have them in Michigan. The closest Cheesecake Factory to us.
Don't say Ohio.
I wish I didn't have to say Ohio.
Those Ish girls were not happy with you.
Ish girls. No, and talking to that a little bit, I did feel a little bit, I wasn't specifically calling them fucking idiots from Ohio last week.
Not
them specifically.
It's a broad brush.
Yeah, they tweeted like, what the fuck, dude? Oh, they were nicer than that. But I just kind of went back and I'm like, listen, we have a lot of sports rivalries. Specifically, the Tigers were just gearing up to play against the Indians. So,
it's a big rivalry. I can understand.
It is. It is. So anyways, I think the closest one I want to say is in Columbus, which is about four and a half hours drive from where I am. So every once in a while we get down there.
Yeah, we're probably 20 minutes or so from the closest one. So not too bad. And they have a nice little area up in the front where you can just go in and get the cheesecake and leave. So, and there's an Apple store in there. So what could be better? Not in the Cheesecake Factory, but in the same mall.
I wish I could eat cheesecake while browsing Apple stuff. Can you get some cheesecake and bring it to the Apple store and sit there and just...
Yep, just go down the escalator. I don't think they'd care.
Well, I feel like... the people in the Apple store, I think they're like... Excuse me. Jeez. The people in the Apple store, I think they're just too nice to care.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't care. No, I don't think that they would really say anything. I'd give them a little bit. I'd give them a bite of it. Trade me a bite of just slip me a watch band or something like that.
Yeah, they might exchange you. All right. Well, I think the question is, whose edible arrangement is better?
Mine.
Would you go for Rob's? And what quick rundown of your list here for those that are driving, have it written it down.
All right. So mine would be pizza, And I'll stick to generalities here. I won't go as specific. Right. Just as a quick rundown, pizza, tacos, Buffalo Wild Wings, Buffalo Wings with the bone, spicy garlic ranch on the side. Number four, steak, Johnsonville Cheddar Brats grilled, Andy Capp's hot fries, and the cheesecake.
All right, and mine would be sliders, jalapeno poppers, spicy Italian sausage, soft taco supreme, onion blossom with the spicy sauce, boneless buffalo wings, and pizza. And I put pineapple on that, but don't let that persuade you. Hashtag TTB Robert if you're going to vote for mine, or hashtag TTB Rob to vote for his.
Yeah, we'd like to hear your feedback on it and kind of see next week who got more support. I think we both agree, though, that if you got either of these baskets,
you'll be happy.
You're a winner regardless.
Now, if you're not on Twitter or any of those things, you definitely go ahead and post it. We'll be posting a link to the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So feel free to reply to that. Use that hashtag if you could. Help us keep track of it and vote for me.
Vote for Pedro.
That's enough food for tonight. So let's get on over to something we haven't covered in a little while. And you were reminded of that by a friend, and that's tech. So I know one of the things that one of my favorite purchases that I bought over the holiday season was Hue light bulbs. I also bought an Amazon Echo, and I know lately you got some Hue bulbs. So how is that working out? I know you were concerned about, you know, the overall usage and how people were going to get used to not flipping a switch, but finding other ways to turn the lights on. So how's it gone so far?
It's going pretty well over here. I have our family room, the playroom, the master bedroom, and the office down here, or my podcast studio down here with the Hue bulbs in it. And I must say, they're pretty damn cool. You know, the biggest thing for me has been convincing the other people in my household to use them. What I've ended up doing is buying some of the wireless dimmer switches. So that way, okay. I'm okay with saying, hey, Siri, you know, turn this room on, or hey, Siri, dim the lights, or, you know, I just activate fucking Siri on my phone here.
Oh, there it goes.
Damn it.
It's dark.
Kelly's probably upstairs thinking, what the hell happened here? Because I'm pretty sure all the lights in the house just dimmed. Fail.
Failing pile of
Hashtag
garbage.
Fail. But I'm okay doing that. But, you know, the biggest thing with Kelly was like, well, I don't feel like using my phone to turn the lights on and off or to dim them or anything like that. So I bought some of the switches. So there's one in the toy room and the family room, and then in the bedroom. But one thing I do really like about them is just how convenient they can be if you set it up correctly and if you Yes. set it up in the right spot. Like, for instance, the boys' playroom, there's like a table lamp, and then it's right by the front, the foyer in the front of the house. So there's like two pendant lights hanging right there, and then there's two big lamps in each corner of the room. So there's literally like five lights in there. So in the Yeah. morning, getting up at 6 in the morning, where Harrison's just screaming, turn the lights on, turn the lights on, turn the lights on, over and over until I turn them on. It's tough to walk around and flip all these switches.
Right.
So now it's cool because I put a dimmer switch right there. I hit the button, boom, all the lights turn on. Oh, I also have one on our front porch light. So, I mean, it's set to, you know, from dusk to dawn. It just, you know, turns on and turns off. So I don't even have to mess with it, but I can, you know, adjust things and stuff like that. And then the color changing ones, which we have in the bedroom and in the family room, are really cool too, because, you know, you can set different scenes and things like that. Now I know you've been using it a little bit longer than I have, and I know you Yeah. have some, different ways that you use yours in your house.
Yeah. Well, the Hue lights are really nice, like you said, because they're connected, so you're able to control them from anywhere. So I have mine set to come on. You know, it's kind of like an electronic timer, but it's done through my phone or other various software systems. But I have them set to come on at, you know, sundown, so they'll automatically come on. I have a color bulb. One of the color bulbs in the house will turn blue if it's going to rain. So it's raining, so it turned blue before I came down here. I have them set for during Packers games in the fall. If there's a set of three, and they'll turn, each one will be alternating shades of green and gold. And so it's just kind of a little nice feature. I also have them set for a movie, so they get kind of like a dark purple, which is really nice. So you can still kind of see, but there's no reflections on the screen, you know, of the TV. So we use that a lot. We also do use the Echo or the Amazon Echo or Alexa, whichever you want to call it, but to be able to go into a room, say, you know, Alexa, turn on the kitchen lights, and then they'll turn on the office lights. I have it set to turn on, or I've grouped rooms together. So downstairs. So before I go to bed, I say, Alexa, turn off the downstairs lights. The family lights turn off, the kitchen lights turn off, and the office lights turn off. As long as they're already on, they won't turn on. So it's smart enough to know what's actually live and what isn't. So that's really nice. When I come downstairs in the morning, I just say, you know, Alexa, turn on downstairs lights, and then they come on. So I don't have to flip switches. And like you said, it does everything. So it's really nice. And one of the things, too, that I have, you know, with the system that I use to have it connected to the weather is IFTTT, which is a website. They've tried to change the name at one point, but IFTTT is If This Then That. And they have just a ton of recipes where you can hook it up to your location. So as you get closer to home, lights will turn on. If you leave the house and you're, you know, a mile or so away, the lights will turn off. So it's smart enough to do that. But like you, people are at home at various times, so I didn't set that up. But I do. That's where I set the weather. Then there's a couple other things, too. And one of the cool things that just got added to IFTTT with Hue is you can connect to Domino's. So if you order a pizza, it'll basically change the color of your light bulb depending on the situation. And then if you have, you know, like you said, your foyer light or your outside light, you can have that connected. So when the pizza is out for delivery, your outside lights will go on. So it's really cool. We've been on vacation. I've used it to turn the lights on and off, you know, rather than using the timers or, you know, the mechanical timer. So it's really a nice thing to have. And every now and then, you know, most will say, oh, I just would rather flip the switch. But for the most part, you know, you're doing something else. And just to say it, you know, Alexa, turn the lights on or turn the lights off. Or I really like them. I'd like to get more. I just look for them on sale or try to find some sort of deal on them. But definitely look into the Philips Hue bulbs. And you can get them with and without color. The color are more expensive, but we find the utility of them is quite nice.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the IFTTT and the different location-based recipes, because, you know, one thing I do wish that it would do is allow you to set it where you could say, okay, turn the lights off when I leave, or turn the lights off when the last person leaves the home,
yeah,
or turn the lights on when the first person arrives back home. Because one of the things that I do, you know, because I set something up, not even thinking about it really, because I'm just not used to having to think about it. But one thing I did was set it up for, okay, when I leave, turn the lights off. And sure enough, Kelly was texting me. She's like, why do the lights turn off every single time you leave the house?
Yeah.
But more or less there is a lot of value. It is cool to be able to have the different light settings. In fact, in our family room, we've kind of always been plagued by, cause we don't have ceiling lights in there. Yeah. And, you know, you price it out and it's like, okay, well, $800 to have can lights added into this room and stuff like that. So you're like, okay, well, I suppose, like, one time I was going to pull the trigger. I thought, like, no, we found some other stuff that we need to spend money on. So we just didn't do it. So really we've had like a lamp in there and then like the light feeding off from the kitchen. But I've always felt like it was a little bit too dim, and I was always wishing that we could have like hanging lights, but make it easy to be able to access them, you know, without having to, you know, drill up and run wires up through the attic and stuff like that. So this was really nice because I've put like these two kind of industrial kind of looking lights in the corners of the room that are hanging. I have the Hue bulbs in there, and there's a cord. It actually looks kind of cool. It's like a, you know, like a material cord of some sort. Mm-hmm. It's a braided cord, I should say. And I have the Hue bulbs in there. And so not only can I just, you know, use the dimmer switch or use that's on the wall, or use my phone to turn them on and off, but it's super easy. I'm no longer plagued by that, you know, how am I going to make this usable where we'll actually, they won't just end up being two fixtures in the corner of the room that just never get used.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't feel like crawling up there to try to turn the switches on and off by hand. So this has been perfect. And not to mention, we do have the color ones in there too, so you can set up different scenes. So like at night, I'll have the table light off, and then I'll have those lights kind of just really dim, just kind of for ambient lighting.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. So I think the biggest thing, it's not that it's harder to use compared to just flipping a switch. I think it's
different.
Just different. And yeah, I think the big thing that people, I think, are still getting used to, and I think probably should continue to try to get used to, is using their voice to do different things and stuff like that, because these digital assistants are kind of like taking over the world, like you know, your Siri's and your Alexa's and your Cortana's and things like that, and your what the fuck Google calls theirs, I think it's
Google Home
and stuff like that, I think is going to continue. There's going to continue to be an increased focus on AI, artificial intelligence in your home, and getting everything to work cohesively and being able to do things remotely. I love how I can, if we're home, like last weekend, we weren't home. Nobody was home. And I look at my phone and like half the lights are on. So I was just able to hit a button, turn all the lights off, and then, you know, save money.
I have mine set too. So it's by time. So if it's during the winter time, or really earlier in the spring when it's still dark out, when I leave, I still have the lights turned on. Then I have a script to turn them off and on for various times, depending on what day, because each day is going to be different. So I have them set that way. And like you said, being able to do it at any time. And they do make, and I haven't gotten one yet, but they do have a motion sensor. So I thought of putting one in the kitchen, and then you can set various themes. So if somebody comes down in the kitchen at, you know, 1 a.m. to get some water, it's going to sense the motion, but it's not going to put, I mean, there's 6 can lights in there. So they're the, you know, the flood type bulb. It's not going to put those on at 100%, but you can set from, if I understand it correctly, you can set a recipe so that if somebody comes in, it's going to set them at 50%. And you can even do that with the Alexa. I can go in and say, you know, turn the office lights on to 50% and it'll dim them. I believe I can control color that way, but I haven't gotten quite that far. But I've done it, you know, going upstairs into the bedroom at night, and I don't want the full lights on because I'm trying to get ready. But, you know, hey, turn the master bedroom lights on to 15%. And it's enough to be able to see, but it's not so bright that, you know, I'm trying to go to bed and I'm already feeling tired that a bright light is going to, you know, affect that. So it's nice. I like it. I like them a lot. And again, we've added more, and they've got some other type of bulbs where not string lights, but rope lights to put behind TVs or as accent lights on top of your cabinets, but haven't quite gotten that far. But, you know, at some point I think we'll add some more, because I mean, I really enjoy them, just the utility of them and the convenience of not having to run around before leaving for vacation to set up a mechanical timer. I can do it right from my phone and change it when we're out too, just to vary the time. So it looks like somebody's there.
Yeah. They actually, I saw one of the recommended apps, like third-party apps in Hue, is an app that actually randomizes certain lights in your house. So when you're on vacation, you can have it turn certain lights on kind of randomly at different times. So that way, if somebody's kind of like trying to scope out your neighborhood or scope out your house, they're thinking light conditions in your house keep changing, and they're thinking that there's somebody in there turning lights on and off. But some of the third party stuff is pretty cool. The kids love, there's one that it's an iPhone app called Hue Disco.
Oh yes.
And the kids really like it because especially with the different color lights, you can set it where it automatically will change lights, or it'll flash, or it'll have like a strobe mode where it's just, you know, flashing the lights really quick on and off, based on the music. So you can kind of operate it like it's like a little DJ booth, and it utilizes the microphone in your phone to actually time it with the music. So it's pretty cool.
I have a friend that likes that app as well, and I know he's used it for different things and different get-togethers, and it always seems to be a hit. But I haven't picked it up. But you know, the way my son likes music, maybe it might be worth a shot.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a couple bucks, I think, but it's pretty cool. You know,
fun time.
$2 for an app isn't not going to make or break you, I don't think. Right?
Not at all. Will we have any other tech news before we jump into our crazy news story of the week?
No, I think we've hit our nerd quota for the day. On to the crazy shit.
This story here is about a young man, Luis Padron, who is from Buenos Aires, Argentina, but he has become obsessed with the world of elves, angels, and fantasy beings after being bullied as a child.
So basically what he's done is spent what's basically the equivalent of, I think, $35,000, so right around that area, changing himself surgically into an elf.
Yes, he did.
It's really no better way to put that.
We'll put a link to the article in the show notes where you can see the pictures. But he's got a 4,000-pound-a-month ritual applying specialist creams, dyes, treatments, and SPF 100 sunscreen. So his skin is pretty much looks like it's been dyed white. He's had his ears trimmed and pointed to look like an elf's ears, and they stick out quite a long way.
My guess is he's actually had some sort of like implant put in his ears to make them do that.
So he spent almost 25 pounds on surgery, including liposuction on his jaw, a nose job, full body hair removal, and operations to change his eye color.
Yeah, the eyes probably freak me out the most out of the whole thing. They're like a blood red
yeah.
color. Yeah.
It's almost the whole thing. There's very little white. So I don't know how they did it, but it's pretty wild. And when my thought when I see something like this, and I think it's more a U.S. culture than obviously than Argentinian culture is, but how are you going to work? I mean, you see the people with the gauges in their ears and the, you know, the big holes and the, you know, neck tattoos and face tattoos. And I mean, there's certainly jobs that are okay with that, but in my head, you know, I'm not that conservative, but at the same time, I try to think, and probably my father speaking to me in my head, you know, you have to go out and get a job with that. So maybe that's not the case down there.
That's probably the number one thing that stopped me from like getting, you know, tattoos and piercings and things like that when I was younger. You know, some people know this, but you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I did at one point have my ears pierced, and
yeah.
at some point I stopped wearing them because I grew up and said, you know, and I just shouldn't have my ears pierced anymore. So they came out at some point, and I'm sure it's completely healed up now. You know, kind of the same thing. I've always had to think, okay, well, at some point I'm going to have to be a productive member of society here. And not to say that this guy can't, but it's certainly, you know, like I work in finance and we're generally pretty conservative people by nature because of our job.
Yeah.
With a lot of this stuff. So like if this guy walked into my office to apply for a job, you try not to discriminate against people's looks, but at the same time, this is more than just looking different because that's how you were born or how you are. Like this guy literally has spent the equivalent of $35,000 to look like an elf.
Yeah, I don't know. I had my ears pierced as well, and Melissa still every now and then wants me to try to put them in, but they've pretty much healed. But I don't know, like you, I think I don't know exactly when it was, but it's not me anymore. I took them out, and you know, every now and then I'll try to just to see if they're still there, but they're not really noticeable anymore. But it just wasn't me. But this is something you don't really recover from. I mean, I guess you can reverse it, but I think a lot of this work, particularly on his eyes, that's forever.
Yeah, I don't think you can reverse the dye. I mean, I'm not by any means an expert of how to make your eyes turn bloodshot red for the rest of your life or anything like that. But that to me, that looks like something that you don't. It never goes back to the way it was before it happened. You know, I mean, the good news though is this guy. I mean, could probably, you know, get some jobs as an extra, and you know, maybe if they decide to make another Lord of the Rings movie, or you know, maybe even Game of Thrones. They, you know, they don't have elves, but they, you know, they might have some other weird mystical looking character that he'd fit in for.
So he's planning surgery to make his ears pointed, hair implants for a heart shaped hairline, and limb lengthening operation to make him 6.5 feet tall. I have my own beauty ideal. I want to achieve that no matter what. I want to have my ears cut to become pointy like elves, my jaw to look more sharp like a diamond, a facelift and an eye lift to make my eyes a cat-like shape. And I'm also considering having muscle implants, too. So I guess the picture that has his long ears, maybe those are just prosthetic.
Yeah, maybe. But so to make yourself taller, though, from what I've heard, that's an incredibly painful experience.
Well, he's looking at the pictures. He's gone through a lot. So what a little bit more won't hurt.
No pain, no gain, right, buddy?
Exactly.
Let me ask you, if you had to, I don't know what universe this would be a real thing, but if you had to get plastic surgery to make yourself look like a mystical creature, what did you think? What do you think you'd go for?
I guess if it had to be a mythical creature, would it be one of the centaur where he's like half horse, half man? Is that what that is?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that sounds pretty damn mystical to me.
All right. Well, that's what I would choose. Mythical.
Mythical. What did I say? Mystical?
Mystical.
I need to finish this beer off. Mythical. Mythical creature. No, this is fine. Let's keep this. Fuck it. I'd probably be a unicorn because they fly and shit rainbows.
That's true. Now, does a unicorn use a bidet?
No, it's a rainbow. It's beautiful. You don't have to clean up after a rainbow.
And who would worry about a rainbow dingleberry? You just leave it.
No, it'd be amazing. You know, you see a rainbow, you don't say, God, I wish that rainbow would go away. Somebody better wipe it up or spray it down with a hose.
That's right. I got a piece of rainbow stuck to my butt. Anybody got a toilet paper?
Actually, if you probably have the right light and the right mist, you could probably make a rainbow from a bidet in your toilet.
Yeah, just the right angle. A little bit of that spray barrier, I'm sure. You get like an oil slick.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
All right. That's our cue.
Do you have anything else for us tonight?
No. Let's just tell them how to find us and get the fuck out of here.
All right. Well, as we tell you every week, you can find us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast on our website, thetwobobs.com. We're also available by email at hello@thetwobobs.com. And remember, don't forget to vote on the edible arrangements. Hashtag TTB Rob for Rob's arrangement or hashtag TTB Robert for mine. And also, there's another way that you can get us.
Yeah, I noticed that you had a phone number.
We sure do. You can get us at 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627.
You have a great night.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.